3KZ Melbourne, the Brighter Broadcasting Service.
3KZ, birthday time is 9 o'clock, Saturday, December 8th, AD 1951.
3KZ is 21 years old today.
You, the people of Melbourne, have helped us write it. And we are confident, therefore, that you will be interested as we recount the KZ story.
The KZ story. Story. Your dictionary says, story, noun. A history or narrative of incidents. But where should a story begin? Where should it end? Where should it have a climax? Can there be a fleeting instant in its passage of time to which all can point and say, this is the climax? Perhaps it's natural at 3KZ that our minds should turn to a very recent moment. The Austin Hospital, Sunday, October 14th, 8 weeks ago. The Prime Minister, Mr. R.G. Menzies, is speaking.
And so in this lovely spot, which is, after all, one of the lovely spots of Victoria, children will be in this hospital and will look out over a lovely green landscape to the blue hills. And will, I hope, from time to time be reminded that the place that they're in is not a place that was produced by some dull rule or by some mechanical law, but by the warm generosity of men and women who listened in over the air, who heard friendly voices, and who became reminded of their duty to their fellow men.
Anyone is likely to glow a little when one hears a prime minister say, "You've built a hospital." There's something very heartwarming about building a hospital, but we'd like to feel that we've built listener goodwill in Victoria, too. It's nice to know one is a welcome guest in any home in Melbourne, and to know you've been there before. Often. One can make a lot of friends in 21 years, particularly if one continuously endeavors to live up to that call sign.
So the 3KZ Melbourne, the Brighter Broadcasting Service.
On December the 8th, 1930, 21 years ago today, in the very middle of the greatest depression the world has ever known, 3KZ took the air with its message of brighter broadcasting and bright music, with the confident belief that beyond the dark financial clouds, better times were waiting.
Beyond the blue horizon,
Jeanette MacDonald was one of the big stars in December 1930. Here's another star of that era, though we felt he'd passed his prime in 1930.
You sang when I was on your knee. A million baby jitters I'll deliver. Many things the Swanee River. Rock-a-bye, you're rock-a-bye, baby. When I drink thee,
that Al Jolson recording was made in 1929 with Guy Lombardo's orchestra. You hear Lombardo every Wednesday at 8, even now. But Jolson lived to have the world at his feet again. This disc is nearly 20 years newer, and the voice has changed somewhat. Voices do.
On your knee, a million baby kisses I'll deliver. If you will only sing the Swanee River, rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye, baby, with our Dixie melody.
Here's yet another song and another voice the teenagers of 1930 enjoyed.
Someone waits for me. If
ladies and gentlemen. No, no. It's the late Russ Colombo. Bing Crosby hadn't been heard of. He was still one of the vocal trio with Paul Whiteman's band. Here's Bing in 1930, and his name wasn't even on the label. Listen very carefully.
Boy, that music thrills me. Hey, it nearly kills me.
Another thing. Way back in December 1930, we weren't used to getting our news from the radio. We got it from printed headlines. This is the Melbourne scene into which 3KZ was born.
Collingwood had defeated Geelong for the premiership a few months before. Farlap, the great, had annexed the Melbourne Cup a month before.
But other things were happening, too.
Further heavy rain and floods in Melbourne. Unemployed at Jolimont forced to leave their tents.
Australia's total unemployed touches 85,000. Mr. Sidney Meyer will see 10,000 workers at the exhibition for a monster Christmas dinner.
The Chief Commissioner of Police, General Blamey, reports no appeal has been lodged by Richard Buckley, sentenced last Friday week.
Air Commodore Kingsford Smith arrives at Essendon today for his marriage to Miss Mary Powell next Wednesday.
The question of Australia's refusal to allow the huge number of 160 foreign migrants into the country, Italians, will be taken up personally with Signor Mussolini by the Prime Minister, Mr. Scullin, on his return trip to Australia.
City Council refuses to allow Melbourne's 100 midget golf halls to open Sundays.
Eggs now 1 4 a dozen. Cigarettes, formerly 12 for sixpence, now 11 for sixpence.
See the new Buick 8 at Preston Motors, £415.
Visit Rickard's Tivoli to see Athol Tyr and Roy Rean. Matinees, 1 shilling and 2 shillings.
Theatre roundup. Athenaeum, Ronald Coleman and Kay Francis in Raffles, 100% talkie. Melba, Charlie Chaplin in The Immigrant.
The State, Buddy Rogers in Heads Up. Play midget golf in the foyer at interval.
Regent, Dennis King and Jeanette MacDonald in The Vagabond King.
And so 21 years ago, 3KZ commenced operations with three directors, Mr. Sid Morgan, Mr. W.V. Morgan, and Mr. M.G. Sloman, and a small staff by today's standards. None of that staff remains, but the same three directors are still at the helm.
You'll get on.
Oh, excuse the interruption. That's a more recent voice. One of the early voices, that of Fred Tupper, was heard in April 1931, 5 months later.
Thank you, 3KZ. I was not there long, but it was nice being there. Happy birthday.
The next month, a publicity idea was tried. It was a success from that point of view, but it became also the first of a series of many firsts.
In June 1931, an old copy of the Listener Inn reports that 3KZ transmitted continuously, day and night, for 197 hours, easily passing the previous American record and achieving something no Australian station had attempted.
The following month, July 1931, Melbourne first heard the voice of one Norman Banks from 3KZ. Before the end of the year, the team of Norm and Joan was well known to Melbourne Crystal Set listeners, and also to that increasing number of up-to-date folk who had installed the new invention, loudspeakers. Being not much older than a college boy himself, Norman wended his way to the Yarra one head of the river day to describe the boat race.
Pennsylvania, her heart is dark from treasure, salt is sad. Betty Coed is loved by every college boy, but I'm the one who's loved by Betty Coed.
Yes, Rudy Valley, early 30s.
From that outside broadcast, it wasn't long before Norman's voice was heard on Saturday afternoons at various football grounds.
Oh, I do like to see a game of football when Saturday afternoon comes round. Hip hooray when they break.
By 1934, Norman was risking the bank's life and limb 150 feet above terra firma at 3KZ's specially erected steel tower near the South Melbourne ground. Norman later was joined by Terry Deer in these broadcasts, then by ex-footballer Jack Green. During Norman's illness this season, a full 18 years later, and for the same sponsor, Wardrop My Tailor, Jack Green was partnered by John Best and this next voice, Philip Gibbs.
Jack Green tells me his greatest broadcasting thrill was the grand final of 1949. When 5 minutes before the final siren, Norman Banks had to depart to find his way to the victor's dressing room. And so to Jack Green fell this highlight.
Center forward position, Dick Reynolds comes in, and with a short kick, finds Coleman, and Coleman is marked. And the crowd are absolutely going wild here, standing on tiptoe as Coleman goes back about 15 yards out to take this kick for the, and there's his 100th. Well, you can hear the crowd clapping. Right round the ground it goes. A salvo of hand claps for a magnificent footballer who in his first year of league football has broken all records by kicking 100 goals. Now, people in the outer and in the inner also throwing their hats in the air with enthusiasm for that magnificent display. And Ollie Greaves, not to be denied, comes out and shows what a grand sportsman he is by shaking hands with John Coleman.
John Coleman, of course, was hardly out of his pram when 3KZ commenced the Saturday afternoon broadcast of Melbourne's favourite sport back on June the 6th, 1931.
Something else demonstrates that intense football interest in this city. In February 1932, a certain Eddie Barmer joined our staff as breakfast and Sunday night announcer. He relieved Lloyd Lamble. One of Eddie's Sunday night favourites was the new hit by the number one band, Ray Noble, with number one crooner Al Boley. The same Al Boley who was still singing, keeping up London's morale during the Blitz 10 years later, when a German bomb wrote, "Finish."
I'm on my hands, you in my arms, nothing but love in view. Then if you fall for all, I'll see my dream.
Eddie had time on his hands, too, because being a breakfast announcer, he had nothing to do after 9 a.m.
What do you mean, breakfast announcers have nothing to do after 9 a.m.?
Quiet, Swain. So Eddie was given the job of organizing a popular footballers' competition, with listeners sending in signed votes for their favorites. It was won by a young Fitzroy player named Hayden Bunton, who had won his first Brownlow medal the year before.
The total signed votes lodged remains a radio record today, over 75,000. So 3KZ had already begun to feel we were accepted into thousands of Melbourne homes. When we put Bunton's trophy and those thousands of votes in a Swanson Street window, the show stopped the traffic.
Incidentally, we used the window of an unfinished shop on the ground floor of the Manchester Unity building, then a massive scaffolding only 4 stories high. We are still grateful for the use of that window to the then Grand Secretary of Manchester Unity, Mr. Walter Best. 19 years later, you can hear his son, John, at 3KZ any afternoon at 3 o'clock.
CCC, you can hear it for a penny. CCC, just a penny serenade.
Penny Serenade for the Austin Hospital is here again, and our first contribution comes
Our continuity manager at that time, 1932, was Alan Stranks. He has been with the J. Arthur Rank Organization in recent years, has a teenage daughter who appears in English films, and has a dozen song hits to his credit. This is one. That first big Melbourne radio competition in 1932 paved the way for many other radio firsts. On Sunday, May the 24th, 1933, we commenced the first commercial radio play series ever relayed to Melbourne, introduced by the voice of Charles Cousins. Remember?
The Star Shell has first. Read to the microphone George Edwards and his radio players.
George Edwards has since become a household word in Australia.
At the same time as George Edwards was making his start, a quiet little serial crept on to our 7:15 air each night, Cecil and Sally. But on August the 21st, 1933, it made way for the first big adventure serial to reach Victoria.
Presently, Tarzan's left hand whips with the knife at his side. The long, keen blade flashes in the sunlight. Again and again, the deadly steel plunges deep into Toto's unprotected left side. With a last gasping roar, the great beast lurches forward, stumbles, falls to the ground. Tarzan leaps upright, places a foot on the huge, tawny neck.
Tarzan!
That cry of the triumphant Tarzan became a familiar sound in all our suburban streets before long. Tarzan ran for more than a year. The air adventures of Jimmy Allen, which followed, did likewise. But these serials, if heard today, would pale beside 1951's advanced productions, such as...
Dossier on Demetrius.
Demetrius, of course, entertains you each weeknight at 7:15.
By 1933, the gramophone records of this next young singer, and whistler then, were becoming better known.
Let me hear you whisper, I surrender, while I am waltzing in a dream with you.
His son Gary was born about the same time. Maybe that's why Bing Crosby was waltzing in a dream. Years later, Bing sent a message to Norman Banks for 3KZ's Christmas Day appeal.
Well, everybody will be up early, of course. The youngsters are naturally up at the crack of dawn. See what awaits them around the base of the tree. Then we have friends drop in during the day for a little eggnog, liberally laced with the spiritus frumenti. And then in the afternoon, I generally take the kids out on a tour of the neighbors, friends, relatives for some Christmas carols. They sing three or four songs. And pick
up the... Just a flash of one further hit of 1933 before we pass to another year.
Not for all the rice in China, not for all the grapes in France, would I exchange the pleasure that I get with every measure when we dance.
Recognize that 33 crooner? It's Clifton Webb, now Mr. Belvedere in films.
Not for all the kilts in Scotland, not for all the bulls in Spain, would I give up arriving at your house, although you're driving me insane.
Goodbye, 1933. Hello, 1934. And we come to a date Eddie Barmer says is important, the 26th of May.
All gramophone record programs on all stations prior to this had contained a little of everything. An orchestra, a soprano, a waltz, a baritone, a Jesse Crawford organ solo. But on that date...
The rose of Tralee.
That was our very first record and our first program of world-famous tenors tonight. Yes, we are to give you a full half hour of tenor voices only, and we trust you enjoy the experiment. Next is a newcomer, Richard Tauber, who sings an item from a show Australia hasn't seen yet, White Horse Inn.
Adieu, mein kleiner Gardeoffizier, adieu, adieu, deine Glück mit dir, deine Glück mit dir.
It seems the experiment proved a success, and program 911 of World Famous Tenors will be there at 8 p.m. tomorrow night, December the 9th, 1951, 17 and a half years after its genesis.
We turn another page and meet an important year for radio, 1935. Three new trends made their appearance this year: talent parades, quizzes, and wide-range recordings.
On October the 6th, 3KZ broadcast the first vertical cut Hill and Dale records ever heard in Melbourne. And before long, this particular one became the biggest hit our city has known.
Even advertised the next playing date to Bull Robinson's Blue Bird of Happiness. Years later, of course, we learned he was Jan Viss.
On August the 4th of that same year, 1935, 3KZ Studios saw the very first presentation of the professional and amateur parade. It had a wider scope than previous similar shows, and the P&A has lasted more years than those others lasted weeks.
What a wealth of talent it has presented and encouraged. In those first weeks, a teenaged lass you know as Peggy Brooks made a shy debut at its microphone.
Since then, Peggy's been a BBC success, back to Australia, and more recently a Canadian and USA network star. In that first year of the parade, this voice was broadcast to listeners for the first time also.
I'll chase away the blues. I'm a happy-go-lucky cowhand. I'd a little, little, look, little, look, do. I'd a little, little, lady, do. Oh, little, lady, do, little, lady, do. I'd a little, do. Oh, little, lady, old lady, do.
Smokey Dawson is now on a 2 years tour of principal American cities. It's impossible to touch on the happenings of other parade personalities and highlights, except perhaps this one.
Ooh, look, Sandman's got you. Can't hardly keep your little eyes open. Bless your little heart. Time you should be dreaming, little man. You've had a busy day. Good night, my baby. God bless you.
And Annette Kluger, aged 14, won the 1948 Grand Final. Today she is in England and has already made several solo Decca records for the international trade.
Exactly 1 year after its commencement, the first grand final of the parade assembled an aggregation of talent which Melbourne was surprised and delighted to find it possessed. Tonight, you yourself may be surprised when we remind you that those first finalists included two people you know very well.
The pianist member of a song and piano duo was a Miss Margot Sheridan. Margot has been heard in 1,000 KZ broadcasts since, and as many artists thank her for her splendid accompaniments, assistance, and encouragement. Of her talents, she can truly say to radio artists, "Everything I have is yours."
The same grand final of the first parade included also a dramatic sketch by a male and female duo, the male being Norman Swain. A few weeks later, the management gave this gentleman an audition as an announcer. Well, it was one of the greatest comedy highlights never broadcast. The audition committee thought they would test young Mr. Swain's musical knowledge.
Conducted by Leopold Stokowski. Then a tenor, Richard Tauber, will sing Chigalita, Menina, and then the boy genius, Yehudi Menhuen, will play the gypsy favorite, Zeganru. Oh, blast it.
And he got the job. All committees make mistakes. And Norman Swain has left Zigeunerweisen out of any program he's announced since that night in 1937.
It's a lie.
Norman, go away, or we'll get the parents listening tonight to tell their youngsters how old Billy Bouncer really is.
Just 10 weeks after August 1935, the commencement of the parade, Norman Banks took a microphone one Saturday night into the foyer of the Regent Theatre, Collins Street, to ask theatregoers questions on all types of things.
And so commenced Voice of the People, the first outdoor quiz in Melbourne. Indoor quizzes were still 18 months away. We didn't even announce we were going to do it, as we felt it might not be a success. It ran for 12 years and paved the way for dozens of other quizzes.
An occasional overseas broadcast at the same time became part of the structure of radio. One such on December the 10th, 1935, was epoch-making.
This is Windsor Castle. His Royal Highness, Prince Edward. But at long last, I am able to say a few words of my own. I have never wanted to withhold anything. But until now, it has not been constitutionally possible for me to speak. But you must believe me when I tell you that I have found it impossible to carry the heavy burden of responsibility and to discharge my duties as king as I would wish to do, without the help and support of the woman I love.
Eddie Barmer, Terry Dear, and Kenrick Hudson won't forget that abdication broadcast, I'm sure.
That's very true, John, and I think that goes for Ken Hudson, too. Is that so, Ken?
It does, Eddie. And it's nice to come along to 3KZ's 21st birthday party.
Well, it's nice to have you here. How about reminiscing for a year or two?
Well, on that night, Eddie, as you remember, Terry Dear, you and I were on duty, and we went downtown later trying to get rid of the blues. Norman Banks was in America and England at the time. He arrived back in the autumn of 1936 and brought a record with him. This record with the narration by Norman himself.
Good night, Dad. Good night, Mother, with tired, wrinkled hands. Forget all the worry each long day demands. Tomorrow, why tomorrow will dawn with a new happy day. So, just close your eyes, hold your hand, and let 3KZ say,
good night, sweet dream, good night.
That was the first good night song in Australian radio. There was another first while I was with 3KZ too, Eddie. The first regular indoor quiz at 11:30 a.m. Sunday, June the 27th, 1937. The spelling bee.
IPPAGS.
Mr. McKenzie?
Only one P. EQUIPAGE.
That's correct, Mr. McKenzie. Well, that still leaves competitor number five, Mr. Williams, in the lead. Now, competitor number one faces up to the next round, so... Mrs. Worthington, would you spell weather, meaning a sheep?
Weather?
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. A sheep? W-H-E-T-H-E-R.
Well, that's the worst spell of weather we've had for some time. Next competitor, number two, is Mr. Sanderson, and your word, sir, is Odyssey. That was the voice of 3KZ's 1937 Sunday morning announcer, Donovan Joyce.
Yes, he has his own production organization today, of course.
Yes. Donovan Joyce's passing parade is now a highlight every Monday evening at 7:30. Dramatic production is practically all handled today by specialized units, as we know. But it wasn't when you were 3KZ, was it, Ken?
No, we ran a series of 26 quarter-hour plays for local authors with a prize of £30, I think.
Yes, that was a forerunner to our present roller show, Actor's Choice, at 7:30 on Thursdays. There, of course, the winning actor gets £300 and the winning author gets £100. Rather bigger prizes today. Rather bigger costs, too. Time is marching on.
It certainly is. I remember as production manager, I had only £20 to spend on that hour show, Radio Cinema, which Donovan Joyce used to script.
I've got a starting date here, Ken. November the 14th, 1937.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the original cast. You'll remember some of them.
Well, well, Dorothy Foster, Lloyd Lamble, Johnny McMahon. Johnny McMahon? Oh, he was doing his first compere job. I've forgotten how I met him.
Oh, he'd done a six-month series of musical sessions here as a singing star. The boy was versatile.
He trained well as we can get.
What on earth's that?
That's Norman Swain.
We sent him out of the studio for interfering, but he got into our echo chamber, I suppose. That's recent, that echo chamber, but it's another first in Melbourne commercial radio. By the way, talking of Johnny McMahon, here he is again with Bob Gibson's orchestra in one of the many records we play of Australian composers. I know you have another date, Ken, but there's just two brief features of an old 1937 disc we found that you'll enjoy. One's a furniture advertisement by a voice you'll know.
Oh, by the way, when you're at Anderson's, ask them to show you that four-piece spare bedroom suite they're offering for £7.19 and 6. Believe me, you'll be surprised. It's a delightful suite. Now, then, to leave the bill.
Well, Terry, dear.
Yes. Terry is now director of Australia's Amateur Hour, and he's a little deeper today than he was in 1937.
You're telling me.
Oh, hello, Terry. Deeper and bigger all round, you might say.
Well, that's the pot calling the kettle, Ken. Let's have another shot at that commercial, eh?
Right, shoot.
Oh, and by the way, when you're at Anderson's, ask them to show you that four-piece spare bedroom suite they're offering for... Believe me, you'll be surprised. It's a delightful suite.
Seems to me the voice has gone down and the price has gone up in those intervening 14 years.
True. Here's another announcement made that same day in 1937. Iris Greenham was our announcer at the time. I'm sure you'll both enjoy it, and I fancy the ladies will, too.
It's specializing in modern hairstyles at reasonable prices. You can have a modern permanent wave from as low as 9 and 6 pence, and a shampoo and setting is only 2 and 6. For information or appointment...
1937. Well, the years are marching on.
Prices are too, Ken.
Time is also, and I must away.
Well, thanks very much, Terry dear, and Ken Hudson, for dropping in at the old address tonight.
It's a pleasure, Eddie, and happy birthday, 3KZ.
That goes for me, too.
Well, thanks a lot. I'll see you both out.
1937, the commencement of the big quiz era, all stemming from that simple spelling bee. Victory varieties, husbands and wives, stumbles, hijinks, and a dozen... dozens of others. So passed 1937. So passed 1938. Where were you on the night of Sunday, September the 3rd, 1939?
Well, me, I was minding my business at 9 p.m. and running a P&A parade. They started with a brass band in those days.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the Coburg City Band. Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this network broadcast to hear an urgent message from the Prime Minister, Mr. R.G. Menzies.
It is my melancholy duty to inform you officially that in consequence of a persistence by Germany in her invasion of Poland, Great Britain has declared war upon her, and that as a result, Australia is also at war. No harder task can fall to the lot of a democratic leader.
The world was at war.
All right, you whippets. Get a move on and fall in lively. Come on. Company. Number.
Take them.
Now, me lads, we're moving into action. Don't look too happy about it. It ain't no picnic. Wipe those grins off your faces. Pigs, Bennett! Move the right in pause. Palm, pose. Right. By the right. Quick. March.
But many Septembers were to pass before our washing did hang on the Siegfried line.
And in the long years between, dawns became dubious, days brought disquiet, nights nurtured nostalgia. Australia was at war. Even after the Prime Minister's dramatic announcement Monday night, the remaining parade competitors, despite their feelings, carried on with the show.
And all radio, now faced with new duties, new horizons, new responsibilities, had to carry on too. No mention of troop movements for the duration. No mention of movement of ships. No mention of the presence of ships. No mention of the movements of troops or the movements of aircraft. No radio station to make mention of weather conditions for the duration. No mention of rain. No mention of sunshine. No mention of wind direction.
Blimey, what can we talk about?
No mention of the movement of three cabinet members today. No mention of the presence of mines in Bass Strait. No mention of an explosion at an ordnance factory in New South Wales in the area 7X.
And so 3KZ became one of the important metropolitan teeth in the smooth mesh of the Australian commercial stations. Over 100 different cogs now geared for war. Every word uttered was uttered with care. Authors of even the shortest advertisements signed their work. Every musical item was chosen and logged 14 days in advance. Even these war songs themselves. The morale of the community was never more important. The near ones and dear ones belonging to men away overseas looked to radio more than ever before. Munition workers on shifts of 12 throbbing hours needed entertainment more than ever before. With depleted staffs, it was the job of radio more than ever before to give them that entertainment, to maintain that morale. The shortwave era had commenced. The calm dignity of the British news broadcasts became a daily event. And by the early part of 1940, Winston Churchill had mobilized the English language for war.
Battle, nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
And then, do you remember the inspiration of this famous one?
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty. So bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
The great speeches of Churchill were interspersed with those from another direction, from another nation, another leader.
This 10th day of June 1940
The hand that held the dagger has struck it into the back of its neighbor.
All the voices we heard weren't mature. Two princesses aged 14 and 10 spoke to London's child bomb evacuees and to the Empire.
My sister is by my side, and we are both going to say goodnight to you. Come on, Margaret. Good night, children. Good night, and good luck to you all.
Then another infamous date in history. December the 7th, 1941.
No mention of Australian troops in Malay Peninsula. No mention of ships sunk in an air attack on Darwin. No mention of enemy aircraft over Townsville. No mention of enemy submarines in Sydney Harbour. No mention of return of 9th Division. No mention of presence of United States military personnel in Australia. No mention of shedding of Sydney suburbs.
The Americans came slowly at first, then in their thousands. Still no mention of their presence over radio. Not until United States headquarters moved to Brisbane were we able to broadcast The Boys. 3KZ, Aussies and Yanks quiz then became a highlight.
Camp shows were needed badly in those years also. With male artists in short supply, 3KZ organized a female professional show which broadcast weekly from camps near and distant. And were those camp audiences hungry for entertainment? Remember Kay, feminine compere of Women in Uniform?
And nothing is better than butter. For Kay sends a boyfriend and I'll rock him up. He told me everybody says I'm
1942, 1943, 1944, 1945, VE Day. And then, in August,
London calling on VJ Day, Wednesday the 15th of August, 1945. Carries the news, read by Derek Prentice. The news of Japan's surrender has been followed by a broadcast by the Emperor, the first he's ever made.
Within an hour of the news, 3KZ's microphone was on a balcony of Manchester Unity Building, directly opposite the Town Hall balcony, directly above the spot where, 13 years before, Hayden Button's trophy and 75,000 3KZ votes stopped the crowd. Today, the crowd itself numbered 75,000, with different thousands happily struggling past every hour. Norman Banks' marathon broadcast that day, that night, next night, combined energy, endurance, excitement.
My Lady Mary, first of all, do let me say to you how terribly thrilled and happy we are to have you here to say a word to Melbourne people today. It's grand of you to come across.
Thank you, Mr. Norman Banks. And people, I wish you could see, I wish you could feel as I feel when we look at these young people down here. It's just wonderful to the mothers who have their sons, as I have, knowing that they are free, and in a very short time we will have them back. Melbourne today is doing what we expected Melbourne to do.
Mrs. Beatrice Campbell spoke the first day. The crowd was still there the second night.
Anyway, here's the crowd singing Waltzing Matilda. Listen to this lot.
Thank you.
Before long, they were coming back, but they weren't all waltzing. Norman interviewed the first returning prisoners one night late in September.
Now, your name, please?
Simon White. J.P.
Christian name?
James Patrick.
Where from, James?
Beltana.
Well, now say hello to the folks.
This hello, Mother. How are you? I'm quite well. I've put on quite a lot of weight since I've been...
Free. Any girlfriend to send a message to, James?
No girlfriend to send a message.
Well, to all of them, then.
After 6 years, the war was over for the world and for the Empire.
God who made thee mighty, make thee mighty again.
The end of the war meant that international travel resumed, allowing Norman Banks to recommence the Voice of the Voyager broadcasts, a regretted wartime casualty. The late Oscar Natzka, whose voice we have just heard, spoke of his travels.
And it really is a great pleasure for me to be able to introduce that talented artist, New Zealand-born Oscar Natzka. Very welcome to Melbourne indeed, Mr. Natzka.
Thank you very much.
Now, in the past, although we've pronounced your name as Natzka, it's always been spelled N-A-T-Z-K-E. What about that change?
Well, we had so many mispronunciations of my name. It was S-K-Y and S-K-I and L-T-H-K-Y that Mr. Harold Holt, my impresario in London, decided that the A would simplicate the whole thing.
30s, 40s, or 50s, 3KZ's effort for the Austin Hospital has remained constant. But the war years brought a flood of other appeals which required and received every possible support. The cessation of hostilities meant that much of this latter effort could be diverted to peacetime channels. Here is such an instance in December 1947 with the Lord Mayor of Melbourne at our microphone. He was then Councillor Raymond Connolly.
I needn't tell you how much the hospitals are in need of money. And as gestures like this, but I think that they greatly appreciate it, and I can assure you that the money will be very well spent, apart from the great enjoyment which you've already given. I'd like to congratulate all concerned, and I'd particularly like to congratulate the winner, Miss Patricia Howard. There's no doubt about it, Australia's getting some marvellous voices.
The late Sir Raymond Connolly was right about Patricia Howard, recently in the lead at Sadler's Wells. With all Melbourne, we were soon to mourn his passing.
...1948, 1949, 1950, and this year of grace, 1951. Our Jubilee year, 3KZ's majority year.
And yet it too has seen the passing of several who elevated our radio, and some who elevated our public life. In January, 3KZ listeners heard this voice for the last time.
When I pretend I'm gay, I never feel that way. When I hold back a tear to make a smile appear,
everybody, and welcome once again to Painting the Clouds with Sunshine. Coming to you from the lovely Grace Auditorium, Broadway, Sydney. This is Jack Burgess with your 30-minute program of the old-time numbers, numbers we all enjoy. So join us and sing a chorus or two. If you can sing in the morning, you're right for the rest of the day.
Of one thing we can be certain, Jack Burgess painted many a cloud with sunshine.
And soon after, radio lost another friend. For 15 years, our Sunday afternoon community singing and our Heidelberg Hospital broadcasts brought you the voice of the finest person, one of the finest persons anyone could ever meet.
Fred Hitchcock's party broadcast from the Heidelberg Military Hospital. And now we're going to sing This Is the Army, Mr. Jones. Now, this is another you can let go, boys. Oh, nothing bad.
The mighty and the lowly attended the funeral of Will Sampson,
a man with friends in every walk of life.
3 weeks later, on May the 27th, the first field marshal's salute Australia had heard. Every Melbourne citizen, either watching or listening to a moving broadcast, mourned the passing of Sir Thomas Blamey. It reminded Norman Banks of another day, 11 years before, when from Port Melbourne Pier, he watched the first contingent of Australians leave for overseas.
Boys, you're downhearted. Well, what about giving us a song? Roll out the bell. Is that the best you can do?
Blamey, boys. What a song. And those Blamey boys have gone now. That ship is well clear of the pier. You can't pick one face from another.
Through the years, we find we haven't been fortunate enough to record every highlight we would have liked for the KZ story. But here's another one we did. It is a privilege to let Melbourne citizens hear it. May 27th was the date of Sir Thomas Blamey's funeral. Little did I know, as I visited Heidelberg Hospital on Anzac Day, April 25th, he was to broadcast his last message. You will find it dramatic, prophetic.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is just a year since I spoke to you last on Anzac Day, and many changes have taken place in the world since then. We are celebrating today the departure of those we loved to the First War. That seems to be getting back into the old past distant period. But now we are beginning to look forward, and we are threatened again with war. This time, the shadow of communism, which was hanging just over our heads, has become something more defined and more definite. So much so that the whole of Europe and America, Great Britain, are preparing desperately.
Many of those same diplomats and national leaders who followed the cortege of Sir Thomas Blamey gathered in the New South Wales town of Bathurst just 3 weeks later.
May he rest in peace. O Lord, hear my prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray, O God, to whom it belongeth always to show mercy and to spare. We humbly beseech thee for the soul of thy servant Joseph Benedict, whom thou hast called out of this world, that thou deliver him not into the hands of the enemy, nor forget him forever, but command that he be received by thy holy angels, taken to paradise.
Joseph Benedict Chifley. May we let you hear his voice again.
Before the war, Australia did not have a policy of our own for international affairs. We were not a voice, but an echo. The war in the Pacific demonstrated that it was vital for Australia to have a powerful voice in international affairs. The challenge was there, and it had to be met.
And so 1951 has seen four funerals of our finest citizens. On such occasions, it is a little difficult to live up to that slogan of ours,
3KZ Melbourne, the brighter broadcasting service. 3KZ birthday time is 5 minutes to 10.
3KZ's birthday, 21st birthday. We've been announcing Empire Day time on the 24th of May for many years. But today, having attained our own majority, we've announced birthday time for the first occasion.
21 years on the Victorian air. We all face the day, all of us here at 3KZ, with a sense of pride, yet with a sense of our responsibilities. Even as early as 6 o'clock this morning, Norman Swain, duly impressed with the seriousness of the occasion, greeted our listeners with an air of restrained dignity.
Hi, everybody. We're 21 today, 21 today. We've got the key of your door, never been 21 before. Hi, diddly, hidey, hip, 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 hooray. Oh, I better get out of me nightie, we're 21 today.
Seriously, however, 3KZ does appreciate the trust placed in us by the citizens of 200,000 homes. And we feel we have got the key of your doors.
Perhaps the occasion calls for a word from our managing director, Mr. Sid Morgan.
As there is so much to be covered in this program tonight, and as time is the governing factor, my remarks will be necessarily brief. In catering for your radio entertainment over a period of 21 years, we have earnestly endeavored to serve the majority by keeping abreast of times in every phase of broadcasting technique. It has always been our aim to play our part in the field of community service and to render full cooperation to our advertisers who make it possible for us to present most of our programs. With these objectives always before us, we have made continuous progress, and I can assure you that our entire organisation will continue to give our best possible service throughout the years to come.
Mr. Morgan has mentioned the word service. That covers a multitude of things. Sacred music, for instance. It is presented not only on Sundays, but every day in the week.
Our sporting coverage is a wide one. One of our best-known programs in this field being Kyoto Sports Parade each Friday at 8:15. Incidentally, you hear quite a deal of Douglas Elliott in this show. He is yet another KZ Oldboy. Then, good music. That, too, is heard daily. A notable instance being the Meyer Musicale each Monday night at 9.
There's just one other thing Free KZ's management would like to mention in the KZ story. That is our cordial relations with the other Melbourne commercial stations, our competitors.
We haven't got any competitors.
We have got our nuisances, of course. And we have many happy memories of some of the events that interstation cooperation brought about. As far back as 1934, there was an instance on October the 18th when all Melbourne's commercial stations, only four of them then, combined to describe the procession of the Duke and Duchess of Gloucester from Port Melbourne to Parliament House, their first visit. The names of the commentators on deck at the various strong posts that day in 1934 are fascinating today.
Port Melbourne Pier, Norman Banks. Swallow and Ariel's Port Melbourne, Frank Jenkins. Esplanade Hotel, Fred Tupper. Prince of Wales Hotel St Kilda, Eddie Palmer. St Kilda Junction, John Stewart. Capitol Theatre, Jack O'Hagan. Cromwell Building, Burke Street, Harper Wilson. Imperial Hotel, Spring Street, Eric Welch.
Old announcers never die. They don't even fade away.
That interstation cooperation reached new levels through the war years. It continues today. We're proud of and happy with our associations with Melbourne's commercial radio stations.
It has been our aim in this, the KZ story, to present some of the things we would like to remember these last 21 years and to describe the times we and our listeners have lived in.
We could look ahead. There's £1,500 to be given to Australian artists in Swallow's Parade tomorrow night at 9.
Then, of course, on December 24th, Christmas Eve, there is that annual event where one in four of Melbourne's million stops to praise a miracle at an annual event since 1938. Carols by Candlelight. Next day, Christmas Day, from 8 a.m. until midnight, 3KZ goes on the air with the Christmas Day appeal for the Austin Hospital and the blind babies. Greetings come from everywhere, all countries, for that long-established appeal.
A Merry Christmas to you all. This is Dick Bentley. Now, if anybody's still listening, I have a message for you all. So you, Mother, don't start chopping the wood till I've finished. And you, Father, take off that apron and leave the washing up until later. I'm usually introduced as your favorite funny man, but right now, in all sincerity, I want to be serious. I know that you're all looking forward to a happy Christmas season, but I'd just like to remind you that there are others who aren't quite so fortunate. For instance, how about the kiddies in hospital? After all, Christmas is the kids' own season, but lots of them won't have much to look forward to unless you are willing to share your happiness. Now, do you want to do something practical? Of course you do. And here's how you do it. There's no better way than giving to the 3KZ Austin Hospital appeal.
The Austin Hospital. As we say at the movies, this is where we came in, almost an hour ago. And that's the KZ story. It was written and produced by Eddie Barber. Kevin O'Gorman handled the research from the listener-in files, the public library, and our own library of historic recordings. Our present-day announcing staff, together with several past 3KZ identities, took part.
Amongst the few unidentified were John Bohr, yet another KZ old boy, and Keith Eden as the voice of censorship. Your compere was John Ford. Our thanks to each one.
Well, that's about all. The 21st candle on our birthday cake is burning low. It wasn't easy to start the KZ story. It's no easier to finish it. So we'll conclude with a little of the bright music which has ever been to the forefront of 3KZ's policy and will continue so to be. On the occasions we have been and will be in your homes, thank you for having us.
Our fingers to know it, what a love.